This evening we are blessed with the presence of Reverend Father Zachariah Digiuscaria, Agenas presently serving as the vicar of St. Gregorius Orthodox Church of Kansas City. At this time, we invite Achin to lead us in the devotional message for this evening.
If everyone has their Bibles, we can open up to the letter of St. James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. The letter of St. James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder where the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. A prayer before the devotional. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. Barakamore, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one true God, forever. Amen. As the psalmist David cries out, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in his sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. My dear Reverend Fathers and dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we have come together this evening in the presence of our Lord, I wanted to first begin with a question for us all this evening. What part of our body is so important that if we could learn to control it, that perhaps, as the scriptures say, we would be considered to be a perfect person? As we have read and heard in the Epistle of St. James, the power of the tongue is one that is never fully grasped by man. We all know that we ought to use our tongue to give glory to God and praise Him continuously. And what more could we desire as Orthodox Christians? But today, if we were to look ever so closely and examine the use of our tongues, we would find it to be filled with deadly poison that is indeed destroying our lives, our homes, our churches, and our society at large. St. James in his epistle says, if anyone amongst you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. It's from the letter of St. James chapter 1, verse 26. When considering the tongue, St. James challenges us to first think whether or not we have control over what we say, and if the tongue we have been given is being used in a holy manner. If not, the faith that we claim has no meaning. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 12, verses 36 through 37, our Lord says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Again, that's from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 12, verses 36 through 37. We all know that God is a loving God, but he is also a discerning God. He looks into the inner heart. He looks through the mouth, and he sees the potential of a person in the inner depths of the soul. The Gospel of St. Matthew reminds us that we are held accountable for every word that we say. In other words, each of us will have to give account of the words that we have spoken. The tongue, though it is so small, can boast many things. We put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us and that we may steer them in the direction we like. In the same way, it is quite amazing that large ships are not just controlled by the water or the winds, but steered by the turn of a very small rudder in the direction the captain desires. I often hear people say, "I don't even know what I'm saying," or "I didn't really mean that." If this is true, we are only putting ourselves in great danger. What this means is that we lack control of our tongue. And if we lack control of our tongue, there is a good chance we lack spiritual discipline, which keeps us from glorifying God continuously, which is the reason we were created in the first place. Taming the tongue does not mean we just keep away from curse words. What about the face-to-face assaults, where we constantly criticize one another, making others feel like they are worth nothing? Though we most often do it to the people we know best, whether it be our family and friends, we have to realize that every word that proceeds from our mouth, we are responsible for. We never know how others will respond to our words. There is a saying, "The tongue has no bones, but it is able to break bones." The tongue has no bones, but it is able to break bones. St. Basil the Great, who was an influential theologian of our church, and whom we remember in the fifth Gubbin during every liturgy, once said, "The person who listens to rumors is as guilty as the person who spreads them. The person who listens to rumors is as guilty as the person who spreads them." The behind-the-back attack or gossip that we see in the world today is creating a link of chains that we often choose to be a part of. You may have heard the saying, "Words that have once escaped our lips cannot be recovered. They may go on from mouth to ear and ear to mouth, spreading damage as they go." Words that have once escaped our lips cannot be recovered. They may go on from mouth to ear and ear to mouth, spreading damage as they go. Realize that when we take part in gossip, we accept the poison from others and now place it on our lips. This leads us to further temptation and destruction of not only our soul, but the lives of others. St. John Chrysostom, who we also remember during the fifth Gubbin, during the Holy Kirbana, was known for his eloquence and preaching. The name Chrysostom actually means golden mouth. Chrysostom says, "If you are fasting from meat and dairy and fish and oil and even bread and water, and you condemn your brother, even if it is Holy Friday, go and eat the meat and fish and dairy products and shut your mouth and don't condemn your brother. For eating your brother with criticism is far worse than breaking the fast that we hold so dear." How many times do we take part in fasting or the Great Lent and find ourselves having no control over our words? We must be careful and be sure that when we fast, it is not in vain. Our fasting should lead us to prayer from our lips and a process that leads us to purification of our souls. We also remember the prophet Isaiah, whose lips were purified by the live burning coal that was placed on it by the angel with the tongs from the altar. This can be found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. If we think about it, the tongue which we receive, the body and blood of Christ, is in a sense the very door of the soul. How can we receive the body and blood of Christ on our tongue if we use the same tongue to curse God? My dear brothers and sisters, as we prepare for the Holy Liturgy in the coming days, let this be our prayer, that our tongue may be purified in the same way as the prophet Isaiah, and that from our lips will utter words of glory to the name of God, and that we may be made worthy to receive our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me conclude this evening with an account from the Holy Scriptures. When we read the book of Numbers, chapter 12, we remember the great prophet Moses, who married an Ethiopian girl, and both Aaron and Miriam did not approve of her. Criticizing her so harshly, all of a sudden, Miriam was covered with leprosy from her head to her foot. Aaron went running to Moses, "O my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." This is from the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verses 11 through 12. Moses cried out to the Lord to forgive his brother and sister, and God responded in this way. We read in Numbers chapter 12, verse 14, "Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again." My dear brothers and sisters, let us look at the power of the tongue. Miriam's misguided tongue brought forth leprosy, but Moses' righteous tongue brought forth cleansing, salvation, and forgiveness, and the ear of God. How do you think we can best use our tongue? Let us consider this question and evaluate it ourselves and seek to turn our tongue to offer continuous praise and thanksgiving to the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessing for his living words to us, unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and forever and ever. Amen.